Okay, should we get started?
So welcome to the
Very final lecture of the XML course. We will have the exam taking place next week on Friday, if I remember correctly, and we thought it might be a good time now to do a bit of a recap what we've gone through during the lectures, and maybe you could give some hints how you can prepare for the exam next week. So I'll try to do this rather brief, and then Toni can continue on the assignment 4 discussion and to wrap up also the demos of the course. So yeah, we hope you have enjoyed the course on some level. I mean, there are quite many things that are related to XML, so it's in many cases can be a bit tedious as well, but we hope that you have enjoyed the kind of a variety of things and topics that we have brought to your awareness during this course. So as you have seen, XML itself is just a kind of only a few set of rules and something like a meta language to describe other languages. And when we use those kind of building blocks that or set of rules that XML applies, it also brings a lot of okay, then the real struggle kind of begins. And then as developers or as content managers in organizations, then we have to start figuring out and kind of deciding for ourselves how we want to develop things. And I think the couple of last visiting lectures, you saw that, you know, there's quite a big variety on how people might choose to use different things to do whatever they are doing. And as you saw in Joni's lecture on Tuesday, like if you are working with the public sector or in private sector, you in many ways get somehow stumble across XML. And in many cases, there might be a bit of a challenge if you do not know what it actually is and what it allows you to do. And we hope that if later on, if you work as a developer, then whenever you are using something, some type of languages that are derived from XML, you also know then the what kind of restrictions, considerations, and also what it enables you to do, because it's something rather simple itself. So it's always good to say that XML itself is simple. However, because XML itself is really you aren't using XML. If you are, no matter which XML-based language you are using something that has been generated from this few set of rules from the basic principles and guidelines. So, but if we like just look back to the first couple of lectures, we've been discussing quite much on what XML can be good for, and mainly the primary purpose is to help computers to share data. And one of the main things that we've been only discussing that XML itself is not a programming language. But if you look at now the last assignment 4, and when we actually start transforming XML, for example, to a web browser using XSL, then we come across using XSLT, which also can somehow be seen as a kind of a programming language for XML, and related things then come together. But one thing to remember, of course, that XML itself, it's just to, you know, provide, it's a markup language that provides you kind of a way to describe the markup and the primary content, to tie the content nicely together that enables you to present, you know, documents, store data, but also interchange data between systems and software. We also been discussing a bit on the differentiation of what XML like is good for, and of course one of the main thing is to structure and data in documents, but also to present metadata. So because many of the examples that we've been given, like how XML is used in organizations and in practice, and for example this OpenScout example that me and Philip were leading a couple of years back, XML was there mainly to store metadata of the learning materials by the usage of XML schema language, which is kind of the more advanced version of the DTD And in this course, we chose not to discuss XML schema in specific because it's also it kind of uses the same basic principles that XML gives, but it also has a lot of more complexity to it, even though it's it might be more practical in many cases to use. But we chose not to focus on XML schema in specific, but look at the DTD and the very basics that kind of belong to the primary set of what XML kind of stands for. And XML schema is something then that is kind of advancing and taking the basics a bit further. XML databases we haven't been discussing in this during this lecture, but I'm sure at some point you will notice how XML can be managed in different ways. But we chose to give some kind of a glimpses also for XML as a format for data interchange between software applications. And in this case, it was, as you can see from the assignment four, it was more or less the kind of not the mandatory part, but also like something like that kind of extends a bit on what we know. And it's also not something that you have to master out of this course, because I mean there are all kinds of XML-based languages for that purpose, and I'm sure if you are becoming a developer, you will come to use those, as Joni showed you, and also as last week's lecture Ville showed you. Let's have a bit of a recap of what the basic building blocks were. In many cases, we might sometimes in this exams, sometimes we might require you to just explain some concepts related to XML just briefly. And one thing always good one to ask is what does it mean that XML is a meta language? So I mean that's something that you might want to also like try to think about, like that the XML gives these basic building blocks for you to create your own languages that you can define with the use of DTD or schema to give the grammar and the syntax for your language. So that's the basic principle of what meta language means, and something you might want to remember. You remember that all XML documents fall under this well-formedness rule, so that you must always have this beginning and an end tag, and that the elements must be properly nested, properly structured. And this goes for any XML-based language. If these two rules aren't kind of followed, the well-formedness rules, the beginning and end tag, properly nesting, the processing of these documents will be terminated. I mean, this is something that all XML-based languages follow. And validity rules were related to XML documents that have DTD or schema assigned to them, and it's a match, so that the XML document follows the grammar and the syntax. In the logical structure, which is very much the main component of this course, we have been discussing quite a variety of things related to the DTD, but also related to the XML, so how you can present your document in a tree structure, but also how you can use different types of declaration for different types of elements, attributes. And one thing that you might want to also bit of a rehearse or think about towards the exam is this: if you see any kind of XML document, you can think about it how you would turn that to a tree structure, or vice versa. If you see a tree structure and you need to build something based on that, try to think about this. This is something like, I'm not saying that this will be in the exam, but it's something that is very, very handy and useful. Kind of a skill to have, in no matter if you're working with XML, but with some other types of languages in the future. So this is one thing that you might want to think. The physical structure of XML was something that we bypassed it quite quickly, but we wanted to include that because it's part of the specification. So more or less when you store different types of contents in something that are called the entities, and if you remember that we can declare big chunks of text, big chunks of DTD, reference those within the DTD or from the XML document to the DTD, and it enables us, you know, to ease up writing. And for example, when the setting is very, very complicated. And one thing, again, something that we might not ask, but just try to remember that entities and elements are not the same thing. They're very much not the same thing. Entities are this, they belong to the physical structure, and when you declare an entity, you normally, you are referencing to that from some part of your document or your DTD, but it's definitely not the same thing as element. This is a kind of a common misunderstanding, and people might use this intertwinedly or something, but just remember that these are different things. And one, as you might remember, one of the main reasons why physical structure of XML is nowadays not that well used, or people are a bit against that, because it also has quite lots of security related issues when you are storing some type of content outside in some external location, and it also poses quite many types of security threats, and in many cases developers are saying try to avoid using these if you have some other means of handling it. And the differences between natural and formal languages, which is very important to remember, that XML is a formal language, so it must be very, very precisely, the rules are precise that need to be followed. That we have different types of markup. For example, when we talk about HTML, we talk about this procedural, presentational, and descriptive types of markup. So when you declare an element called table, you aren't just describing that there's a table, but in that context, in HTML, it means that you are actually drawing some table with columns and rows there. And in case of XML, that we aren't putting in the context of web, you know, presenting information on a web browser. If we declare a table element, we are just describing that this is a table. It doesn't mean that how it should be processed. And to remember that XML itself is like a markup language that is really focused on describing the content, not how it should be processed. But when we transform XML to something else, then we might be putting it to a context of HTML, and then we also might need to use this other types of markup. But XML itself doesn't define this. But when we take those basic building blocks to a real context, to a real organization, to real development, this is the part that we were discussing quite much with Tony and Philip. So, which are the key issues that we want to show to you? Like, in what's the main kind of outcome that you should take away with you when this course ends? And we chose like to use this transform XML documents, for example, to show it, give it the external presentation, show it on a web browser. We thought that might be a very, very good way to show what you can do with XML data. And we chose to use this XSL, so that we are transforming the documents, in this case, on a web browser, and which also brings us quite many related languages then that we need to somehow master or understand. And it also, like from this XSLT, but all, and the XPath that allows you to navigate within your documents, you know, these tricky things that you have to actually browse to a certain element to retrieve its content and similar in this fourth assignment. We also come to, we need to understand some of the basics behind HTML, CSS, and so on. So we thought that this might be a very, very good idea to extend it towards giving an external presentation, because then you might need to see how these all languages are somehow intertwined, and that you have to handle in a kind of a package. And we hope that it wasn't too tedious, I mean, this fourth assignment, because I, in many cases, think that it's the most important of these assignments that we have been going through during the course. And all the other issues are more or less something that we have been showing as some kind of examples for data interchange, using XML schema for describing metadata, how we come to use different types of namespaces to avoid collisions of names when we might have we have to use multiple namespaces to avoid the clashes of names. So, for example, if we have something like describing a like a table, and then we have something from HTML that describes table for a very different purpose, that we might need to use those namespaces. So that this is something that we wanted to raise your awareness towards. And, you know, in Joni's lecture 2 days ago, I mean, there's quite a big of a variety what you can use XML for. And this user interface design is one angle that for example, he's using quite much for. But then we could quickly just, for setting up the borders for the course and what you also can think about when preparing for the exam, so that in-depth knowledge of XML as data in the exchange language is not required in this course. Same goes to XML schema namespaces and this XSL and other extensions to XML. But the most important thing is to showcase that you master the very, very basics, which a couple of slides back that I had. And mostly to understand how you can extend XML, how can you make use of XML in a particular environment, in a particular setting. And in this XML in organizations lecture, you might remember we had this small case that you have to think about how you could use XML, for example, in like a publishing house or something similar. Try to think about similar examples from your own background, of your own interests, because this is also something quite likely that you might need to emphasize a bit in the exam, how you might make use of XML in a particular situation as a consultant, you know, as a project manager, as a developer, or something like this. Of course, we try to make it that if you aren't a developer, you don't need to know all the things around it. But we usually give a bit of a flexibility on how you can. But you need to show that you understand how you can make use of the basics, extend it to a particular, make use in a particular environment. So those are the main things. So the exam is next week on Friday. So try to prepare for it, but just to say that if you have done the assignments yourself, really, if you have been part of this from last year, I can say that it's very, very likely that the exam will be rather a piece of cake for you. But just make sure that the assignments, you really understand what went into them. And in the exam, if it would be the case that you would have to actually write some XML in paper, we aren't fixated on that you have every single exclamation mark or whatsoever in the right place, but I mean that you understand the logic behind, that you show that, because usually, you know, if you're using a particular tool, you are getting the basic markup by the tool itself. You don't have to remember those things by heart. But of course, you have to, even when you write the code yourself, you have to understand the logic behind and how the syntax, what actually happens there. And it's the same thing if we would have something like that in the exam. So you don't have to be fixated that you remember exactly how the XML declaration is in the startup document. That's not the case. But that if there's a particular thing that you have to turn into an XML document or vice versa to a tree structure whatsoever, that you really understand what goes in there. But I think that was the main things for the course wrap-up. So do you have any questions at this point? I mean, about the course contents, about the exam, about anything before Tony starts with the assignment? Okay, if not, then good rest of the lecture and good luck for the exam. And if you have any further, any kind of questions, just put me a message or Tony or Philip.